Hello and welcome to this BJS podcast. I'm Wendy Barnaby and today we'll be talking about national registries for esophagogastric cancer. There are papers in the December issue of the journal based on registries in the Netherlands, Sweden and Japan. Registries set up to take a broad look at what treatment paths and treatments are most successful and whether hospitals dealing with many cases have better outcomes than those with fewer. Joining me to discuss these registries is Professor John Reynolds, National Lead in Ireland for Esophageal and Gastric Cancer and Professor of Clinical Surgery at Trinity College Dublin. John, thanks very much for being with us. Now, these various registries, what do you think we can take from these studies? What do they actually tell us?
Well, there's different messages from each registry. So one of the papers, the first paper is from Japan, and it's on the impact of hospital volume on short-term mortality, 30-day and in-hospital mortality following an esophagectomy. And really the message from this study is that this is the first paper really to come from Japan from its enormous national clinical database that mirrors the numerous papers that have come from the Western world that have very much highlighted the association between hospital volume and outcome, short-term outcome following an esophagectomy, but in particular in hospital mortality. So what they have done is just shown in their own population, and they had in total nearly 17,000 esophagectomy patients to analyze, that not surprisingly, the centers that did a high volume of these operations, and this was measured on a continuous rather than a categorical basis, it had much better outcomes, threefold better outcomes in terms of mortality compared with low volume. So, for example, the mortality rate of hospitals that were just doing less than 10 cases a year was 5%, 1 in 20, and for hospitals doing over 30 was 1.5%, so significantly better than before. And I suppose the unique thing about this is that it's really the first major one on this team from Japan. And it really just echoes many, many years later the line that's been taken in many papers in the West, particularly starting with Birkmeyer's paper in 2002 about the volume outcome association with esophagectomy. The second paper is from Sweden, and Sweden is the envy of the world in terms of its national cancer registries and other registries. So the authors, Cleverborough and others from the Karolinska, have just taken a snapshot from their national registry for esophageal and gastric cancer going from 2006 to 2014. And they have very much in an observational study compared patients who have had chemotherapy before surgery or the combination of chemotherapy and radiation therapy before surgery or surgery alone. And they've just made some observations, some interesting observations in that space. In particular, the outcomes for patients with the squamous cell cancer, which is the less common cancer in the West, were significantly better in patients who had chemotherapy or chemoradiation before surgery compared with surgery alone, but that they struggled to show significantly improved outcomes for the more common type of cancer that we see, which is adenocarcinoma, whilst the risk of morbidity and mortality following surgery was greatest in patients who had the preoperative chemotherapy and radiation therapy. So it's an observational study. It raises some questions about whether there truly is a big difference between chemotherapy or chemoradiation therapy, which is a big discussion and controversial area out there at the moment across the world. But it's limited by the fact that it's just an observational study and it provides level three really evidence or grade B or grade C recommendations in terms of what it shows. But it does provide some interesting data, but really just highlights the need for good randomized clinical trials to address some of these questions. It provides useful information. It throws up some questions, but it's not a particularly powerful paper of itself from the very powerful registry that exists in Sweden, in my opinion. probably the most interesting paper, because it is the one from the Dutch Upper Gastrointestinal Cancer Audit, because this highlights how a national audit can evolve and be tweaked and developed. It also highlights how a national cancer audit, even focusing on a specific area like upper gastrointestinal cancer, is best positioned within a national institute, if you like, for clinical audit. And this particular study, which is from the Dutch Upper Gastrointestinal Cancer Audit, which was only established in 2011, is under the aegis of the Dutch Institute for Clinical Auditing, which is great. And it is a defined quality standard from the Association of Surgeons of the Netherlands and the Healthcare Inspectorate. And what that really shows in, and it's just from a total of almost 3,000 patients with esophageal cancer and 2,000 patients with gastric cancer that were registered, was that having that audit, which was mandatory, you could see evolve over that time period an improvement in standards in terms of quality control, such as clear margins, numbers of lymph nodes, and so on. And what they were also able to show and underline how an audit like this can improve quality is that they were able to show that the mortality rate from gastric cancer surgery was halved over the time period of the audit. So clearly some of that may be just a natural evolution of improvement in outcomes that we do see, but also a significant element of it was probably the mere inception of the audit, the community of surgeons that's established through the audit, and the focus on quality and quality improvement that brings. I think that's the strongest and most compelling of the three papers, is that because it indicates there's a national focus on audit and quality improvement, and I would be particularly excited by that particular paper.
John, you've pointed to some of the strengths and weaknesses of these studies. I mean, the level of evidence, which perhaps isn't wonderful in the Swedish study, the fact that the Japanese study might be looked on as a me too sort of study. Do you think that these sorts of registries can help in improving outcomes? It sounds from what you've said about the Dutch study that you think perhaps they could.
No, they definitely can. And I think if there are inclusive, you know, web-based, contemporaneous, they unite a body of surgeons. And perhaps one of the weaknesses of some of the registries and audits is that they might be discipline-focused, like surgeons in some of these cases, rather than disease-based focus, bringing in oncologists, medical and radiation oncologists, and so on. But the registries, which are all relatively new, have enormous strengths in terms of driving quality improvement. And one of them is just from the mere audit. Audit itself, we know, drives quality improvement. The American College of Surgeons National Surgical Quality Improvement Program showed that the mere inception of that audit resulted in a 27% reduction in 30-day mortality. We see from the Dutch study here improvement in many markers of quality in terms of the surgery that was performed, and in outcomes in terms of reduction in mortality rates. So I think it's intuitive and it's natural that that happens. And one of the things that happens from the leadership shown, and here mainly by surgeons in developing these registries, is that, you know, it's like the old aphorism that a rising tide lifts all boats, and here it might be adapted to it raises most boats, but the weakest ones might run aground. So one of the things that happens when you establish such good registries is that very low volume centers, and maybe centers that don't have the right structure, the right personnel, the right degree of specialization, the minimum volume associated with quality outcomes based on the volume outcome association, that some of those just trail off and drop out. I think what we're finding from these national registries is they're producing leadership in cancer, in surgery, and in other areas. It's creating a community of highly specialized surgeons who are all very focused on quality and proving quality and quality improvement. And on a very positive note, and it can, as well, what it's allowing happen is those centers that are not properly structured are able to deliver on that to drop out. We've seen that here from the Netherlands reports, and we've seen it all over the world from other reports on cancer registries. And so you're talking about a significant amount of improvement in quality and life saved and improved cancer survival through that.
So how do you see the future for these national or indeed international data registries?
Well, I think the future for the national registries is to establish in each country a community of specialists in the particular disease. If there's one weakness, perhaps from the current registries in many Western countries and perhaps in Japan, it's very focused on the surgery. Whereas, in fact, all aspects of care, including obviously chemotherapy and radiation therapy, have very significant impact in the management of cancer patients. So I think nationally, the future will be for it to be more multidisciplinary. Internationally, really, is where the future will lie, because what's happening already is that powerful databases from international worldwide collaborations have been established. And I'll give you a few examples. One is one to do with the esophageal complications group set up by Don Lowe from Seattle. And that's already established a web-based international database now under the auspices of the International Society of Diseases of the Esophagus, with contemporaneous data from high-volume centers. And it provides a contemporary benchmark for something very important for a very highly complex operation of esophageal cancer surgery. And that's been an enormously powerful initiative. So from being national groups, increasingly rapidly, this is becoming international, web-based, contemporaneous, easily accessible, with easy benchmarks against the current contemporary standards for all aspects of good delivery of care for esophageal and gastric cancer. So that's one major thing, is national staying and being important and helping inform decision makers and government and payers of care, and providing obviously value for collaborative research. But increasingly, the most powerful collaborations will be made through these international web-based structures. And the one other link that can be made through these powerful international structures will be a kind of a seamless alignment with science. So we see it in the UK, for example, with the OCCAMS, which is led by Professor Rebecca Fitzgerald in Cambridge, and so many esophageal cancer patients and their tumors and samples and so on, linked with that and linked with the high-end modern genetic and molecular research. And you can multiply that several fold in terms of the potential of powerful international registries have for linking with science, because science and medicine for cancer need to be linked on a kind of a day-to-day basis.
Well, thank you, John, for that really fascinating overview. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for. So thank you for listening, and goodbye.